Good morning, guys. Joe's doing something with his family this weekend, so I'm blessed to get to bring the word today, and I believe that God has a word for you guys. Before I get started, I must celebrate our motel ministry. We did an outreach last night over at the Hospitality Inn, which is in Garden Grove, on Garden Grove Boulevard and Beach Boulevard. And if you've ever been down there, it's riddled with homeless and kids running around strung out on fentanyl and heroin, and it's sad. But last night, the manager of the property, I mean, God gave us favor. Normally, only the people that stay there are allowed on the property. Last night, he let us go out into the streets, underneath bridges, grab the homeless, and bring them to church. It was awesome. It was awesome. So we had 40 blankets that we gave away. We think we could have given away at least 20 more. So I'm thinking maybe like 60 to 80 ran through there that night. But I'm not kidding you, about 20 people sat for service. And before I went up to preach, Van was there noodling, you know, before he started some worship. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm watching a drug deal go down in the pews. They're literally doing a drug deal. And I'm like, Jesus would be here. This is where Jesus would be. Okay, it's on. It's on now. And so it was so amazing. You guys, listen, our team, we had like 50 volunteers show up. And we had hot food for them. We had stockings. We had toys for the kids. We had a doctor that was doing donated medical services to these people. I think he even gave some methadone. You know what I'm saying? But we brought a doctor, and I'm looking around, and like, we are providing for this community that the world has forgotten about. And listen, I know it's beautiful. But here's the best part. I started preaching and all the wrestling stopped. All the fussing and bussing. And for 15 minutes, because baby, I was fast. I hit him hard and fast. You know what I'm saying? For 15 minutes, they listened. They listened to the gospel, you guys, and they received it. They received it. In Jesus' name, they received it. And there was response, and it's just, it was beautiful, and that's our church doing ministry, guys. And I just want to invite you on that stuff that we do together, because listen, Jesus taught in the synagogues. He performed miracles out there. See what I'm saying? Jesus does what he's going to do, but if you want to see miracles, start doing ministry on the streets. God performs miracles when you go out there and get dirty. I'm serious. And so I just want to encourage you. I'm still flying high off of last night, so. But we'll get started in the sermon. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Motel Ministry. All glory to you, Jesus. So, it's Christmas time. And you ever notice how the world's okay with Jesus being a baby? It's true. The world is okay with Jesus being a baby in a manger. There's some wise men. We'll throw some reindeer in there, maybe some elves. We'll have a holiday. That's the world's depiction of Christmas. So I thought it would be appropriate today to define the baby. Let's define this baby that was born. Because what that does for us is it puts everything in perspective, because I'm okay with tradition, you guys. I have a blow up elf in my front yard. I have a tree in my living room, and my house has lights around it. I'm participating in the traditions of men. And I'm going to say this carefully, and I didn't say this the first service. This is for you, I guess. I'm going to say this carefully, but listen. And I'm just going to give you this. It's a truth that we'll wrestle with, but it's the truth. Most of us in here were tricked into and participated in the first false god that we ever worshiped. Because he knows when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. And then we, years later, we go, yeah, you know all that? Sorry. Now I want you to believe in a God you can't see. See what I mean? See what we've done? And hey, I'm right here with you. Okay? I just want to lay out the truth and see, because tradition can be okay. Tradition can be fun. But this is because our King Jesus was born. We celebrate because it's Jesus' birthday. The King, the greatest of all time, was born. And I want to talk about one of his many attributes, one of his many character traits. The title of my message is Jesus Christ, the King of Peace. How often do you worry and stress? How much time do you spend meditating on your issues? We spend hours meditating on people, places, and things, creating scenarios, many of which will never come to fruition. Jesus is the God of peace. Not only is he the sacrifice that gets us into the family, but he is the very reward we receive when we deny ourselves and live for him. The prophet Isaiah, about 700 years before the birth of Christ, has this to say. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will do this. Now, there's a couple things I want you to see in this scripture. Isaiah calls Jesus Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These names for God are honoring, kind of like how we honor like a king. If he's a man, we say Your Honor, or a judge, Yes, Your Honor. We're showing that person honor, and these names are names of honor. Another thing that I want you to see from this scripture is this. In the original Hebrew, because it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And it also says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. The original Hebrew for government is misra. I might be mispronouncing it, but that's the way I think it sounds. Anyway, it means dominion or rule. So, of the increase of his dominion and of peace, there will be no end. Now, this is what I want to springboard off of. Because I don't know if you were here last week, but Joe preached a message and he talked about, you know, kind of the infinity of God and how many billions of light years of, you know, beyond us he is. How many zeros, 16 zeros, 18 zeros. Well, this scripture right here about his dominion and his peace says that God, as according to the growth of his dominion over everything and his peace, means he put his elbow on the zero. And the zero's still going. Do you know what I'm saying? The zeros are still, it's a gazillion billion, it's eternity, it's infinite growing. And that's a truth that I want to implant in you today. Okay, the dominion, the control, and peace of God is always growing, always increasing, always producing, always multiplying, always, it's always expanding. God has no boundaries. So let's establish Jesus's dominion. Let's prove through scripture right now that he truly has dominion. And scripture perfectly explains this in Colossians chapter 1. This will tell you all, and I'm going to say a lot of words right now, but just, you know, hang on there with me, okay? Verses 15 through 20. This is about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent or superior. That in everything Jesus is superior. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the baby. They are describing this sweet little baby in the manger. They are describing the king of mankind. Let me go back, because I said a lot. He's the image of the invisible God. So we know, or if you don't know, I'm telling you now, Jesus was born of a virgin. Mary was a virgin until she had Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one that put his seed into Mary. Now, I would just imagine, I'm not God, but I would imagine God's, you know, God created everything and everyone in it. He created Mary to specifically hold Jesus, to birth him. So she must have been, I mean, she was born with a sin nature, okay? That's why Jesus was a human. He came as a human, but she must have had a really obedient, gentle heart for God to pick her. It's honorable. But he chose her and he planted his seed in her, and Jesus was born of a different DNA than you and I. Jesus does not have the same DNA as you and I, even though he was born of a woman. His DNA is perfect. His DNA is absolutely of the Father. He is the image. That's why when he taught and he spoke about the scriptures, it was like he was there when it was first written. Because he was. He was there. He is the Word. He is the very Word that we read, that we hear, that we speak. He is the essence of God in his Word. He is all God placed in man. Firstborn here, when it says he's firstborn of all creation, he's firstborn from the dead. It's rank only, because you can't be only begotten. He's the only begotten Son of the Father, and you can't be only begotten and first begotten. So he's not the first begotten Son. He's the only begotten Son, but he is first in rank in the new life. He's first in rank among all creation. Not just humans, all creation. First is Jesus. And it's got to comfort you, church. This comforts me to know for him, by him, all things were made. I mean, it says rulers, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. All things. Does that mean that God, you created all things? Does that mean you're even sovereign over evil? Yeah, that's what that means. God doesn't do evil. God, and I want to be specific because somebody came up to me after last service and said, God didn't create evil. God created everything. Satan wanted to be like Christ, and his pride got him shot down here. But God created Lucifer. God created the angels that followed him. God's created everything you can see and you can't see. God created everything in the supernatural and the natural for our King. The Father created everything for our King who loves us. He loves us. He's not mad at us. He's not disappointed because you just can't get it right if you would just get holy. God. And here's why. There's three things. I hope I'm not moving too fast, but I'm just going to do it. There's three things I want to talk about today. Oh, hang on. I don't want to jump too fast. I got to give this to you for sure. Jesus dominates life and everything in it. Therefore, he is truly the King of Peace. Because he knows the end from the beginning. He has the answers to all the problems already. He maybe didn't orchestrate the problem, but he's allowed it to happen for a reason. Everything is for a reason. And here's the kicker. Jesus did not come to this earth to make your life better or mine. What? Hey, when's Joe coming back to preach? I know I just grabbed a handful of your underwear and just went like that. But here's the thing. I didn't say it. Jesus did in Matthew 10. In Matthew 10, Jesus says it like this. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus came to divide his church from the world, to cut away his people from the grips of sin, death, and hell. That's why he came. He didn't go, and that's, I understand why we go, man, why is my life so hard? It's life. It's life. And look, let me say this carefully because I don't want to discount any tragedy in your life, any adversity, anything you've had to overcome. That is big, but it's not bigger than God. I just need to get you back to where he wants us. Matthew 10 in verse 38 and 39, he says this. He says, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is not the Jesus 2.0 that is being preached from the pulpit. Not here, but a lot of places. Live your best life now with Jesus. That ain't true. Jesus is not asking to be a part of your life. He is asking you to lay down your life and step into his. And that's where you get the peace. John 16, Jesus says this. And he said a lot of things to them, a lot similar to what I'm saying to you today. So I'll just I'll just head right into it. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. You see, Jesus understands that life's going to be tough. He understands that we are struggling as people down here. And we need a Savior. We need somebody guiding us. We need help. And so Jesus makes it plain and simple for all of us. You want peace? Step into me. Well, what does that look like, Pastor Chris? Step into Christ. How do you do that? I can't even see him. You get into his word. I told you, Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the word. The word became flesh. The word of God. You see that? The word was the seed. The word of God was the seed in Mary. He's the word, the very essence of everything that we read, everything we sing about. It's him. I have said all these things to you, church, so that in Christ you may have peace in this life. Right now, what you're going through, what you're gonna go through, what you've been through. Jesus wants to heal you of all of it. Your past, your present, and your future. But you have to step in him. I surrender. I surrender my life, God. I surrender it to you. Be my Lord. Change me. Make your word come alive. I hate to read, God. Make me like it. Pray that. Come on. I hated to read. Now I love it. I mean, I don't love it, but I love the word. So I gotta read. Like, that was honest, right, Lord? Yes. So, oh yeah. Thanks, bro. I don't know what's going on. Thank you. So there's three things that I want to talk about today, and these are three things that Jesus brings. The little baby Jesus brings all of these things. Why? Because that little baby was born to die for you. That's why he was born, to die for you and me, to die for us, to take our place, and to give us everlasting life. That's why he came. So let's start in Romans. Let's start with peace of God, because if you don't have peace of God, if you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace, baby. Romans 3, 21 through 26. A bunch of words again. Just hang on with me, all right? But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. That's Jesus. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation or a substitution, a satisfaction. By his blood to be received by us by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. He gave grace to sinners from the time Adam fell in the garden. He's been given grace ever since. But he had to make it right, because he's a just God and the wages of sin is death. Blood must be shed for the wicked. Blood must be shed for the wicked. To have a relationship with a holy God, blood must be shed. And not anybody's blood. It has to be perfect blood. a perfect, unblemished life that has been lived. You know God, K-N-O-W, you know peace. Know God, N-O, no peace. And I mean, you may get, people have, the wicked can have forms of peace or an illusion of it, but it will not last. If you do not have peace with God, I'm telling you, you do not have true peace. Everybody desperately needs to be saved from themselves. You know, I heard somebody share one time, and God, you know, I'm not judging anybody. We're all, you know, new Christians. We think things and we say things, you know. My family is so evil, and I'm thinking, you're so are you. It's true. My family's so evil. Well, you grew up with them. What do you think you are? Really? And here's the thing. They are evil. So are you. So am I. We are. We're all desperately wicked. Even your grandmama. And she's sweet, right? That woman is sweet. She's got a sin nature. And that's what's wrong with the world. Well, this is wrong with the world. And this is wrong with the world. No, you know what's wrong with the world? God created the earth. And then he created man. And he put man in the garden. And he gave man a command. And he held that man to perfect obedience. And he promised him life if he kept it and death if he didn't. Well, he didn't. He didn't keep it. And so for generation after generation after generation, from then until now, sin nature has been passed down to us so that everybody is guilty. Everyone is guilty of sin. But God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever would believe in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. The Father didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world. The Father sent the Son into the world so that the world might be saved through him. We are saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus. And everyone who confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes that he is raised from the dead shall be saved. This should bring one to peace, because check it out. And I know that there's people in here, you still kind of carry the guilt. You carry this, I need to perform for Papa so he loves me. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you something, and this is what you need to grab a hold of today. God loves you so much that he said, you know what? You can't do it. And I'm not going to make you do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay your penalty for sinning against me, for choosing your own life and your own way over me. I'm going to make a way now, because you'll never get there. You'll never get to me if I don't provide a way, if I don't provide my own sacrifice, if I don't provide my own lamb, because again, he had to be perfect in word, thought, and deed. And he did it. He did it, you guys. He was born of a virgin and he lived a sinless life, never breaking the law of God. Not one time. He lived your life and my life for us perfectly. So when he went to the cross and he was nailed, first he was beaten and shamed purposely. God allowed him to be shamed. Why? So you and I wouldn't have to carry it anymore. Jesus was shamed for all of us and beaten. And by the time that they nailed him to the cross, the Father looked upon him and saw us. and he unloaded every bit of wrath that he's been saving for you and I on our Lord. He unloaded it. He unloaded his anger and his vengeance towards sin and filth and unholiness on perfect innocence. And he said, that's good. And he said it was so good that he looked upon Jesus and he said, I accept the sacrifice. I accept the sacrifice for men once and for all. The blood has been shed once and for all. So for whoever believes on the finished work of my Son, of Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This brings us peace with God. And if you have peace with God, friend, now you're ready to start the sanctification process, which I know that's another big word. It just means God cutting away the world, cutting away your pride. It means you getting into the word and you're wrestling with the truth because it goes against what you think. And why is it so bad to watch porn? I've been doing it all my life. And all these excuses that you have. Seriously. The Lord wants to heal you completely. And it's like, listen, I know we're all in different places. And this is what I love about this church. You come in straight off the streets, baby. And I want you to feel right at home while you get sanctified. You feel judged, you come get me. I'll get them. Okay. And you get there. You get sanctified. You let God. You just keep coming back, hanging out with us and being transparent. And yeah, man, I'm still watching porn. Let's pray. Can you pray for me? Because I know it's wrong. I know it's not right. I know it twists my mind about intimacy and love, and it's wrong. Help me, God. That's how we wrestle. That's called sanctification, and it's messy, guys. You're in the right church. You can wear it on your sleeve here. Praise God. You really can. I'm a mess. Yeah, me too. Praise the Lord. Because he's not. And this is the, I want to give you hope. Like, you're jacked up. See you later. No. I figured out recently that I've been saved for 18 years. And it feels like I've only known God for maybe two of those 18. And I mean, that's just me talking, but you know, I started going to school 2 years ago. I started, you know, investing more time into the word. And that's what happened. That's what happened. I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't in the word and doing my thing. I was just growing. It's what it is. The Lord showed me. It's process. That's why I don't judge people and go, oh, you're not living right, so you ain't saved. How do I know? I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're just a saint making stupid choices. You're a saint that doesn't have the revelation that they've been forgiven. And so that means not only am I forgiven for everything that I did, but forgiveness engulfs. It means I can step into forgiveness and forgive all those things that they did to me. And I can release them because they've been taking up a lot of space. It's not God's best for you to be tormented by your past, by the way. You're saved. You're healed. You're whole in Christ. You can make peace with your past. And I might as well just transition it into peace with self. So you get peace with God. Now it's time to get peace with yourself. And I want to share this scripture with you so you can get a picture of a person who has come to grips with forgiveness. It's in Luke chapter 7, and Jesus is talking, and they're in a house, verses 41 through 48. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom you canceled the larger debt. He said to him, you have judged rightly. Good answer, Pete. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. There's a woman sitting at his feet, weeping. Okay? Then he turned towards the woman. He said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, Simon, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And I just want to give you a picture of somebody who has understood the forgiveness of God. She's not weeping because she's sad. She's weeping because she's overwhelmed with the revelation that although she did all those things, which probably included selling her body, she did all those horrible things, all those sins. He said they were many. And she got a revelation that Jesus Christ, God, right before her, forgives her. You forgive me? Oh God, Jesus, you forgive me of my past. You forgive me of all those things I did, all those people I hurt, all those things that I said, all those times I used your name in vain, all those, every time I stole, every time I hurt somebody. You forgive me. I'm released. I'm released. I'm released from the guilt. I'm released from the punishment of death and hell for being totally against you, God, from looking up to the sky and cussing at you. You've forgiven me for all of it. You see, she realized this and she was weeping. And if you've never been in a position where you've been with God and you're just like, Jesus, I can't believe you forgive me. I can't believe you. Thank you, God. Then you need to get there. You need to get there. Because then you'll know. You'll know his love. God doesn't just love you. He likes you a lot. Did I say that already? He likes you a lot because I want you to get it. I want you to get it. He's not, well, you know, I'm God, I'm good, so I'm still going to bless you. But, you know, your walk is, I know that's the way some of you feel. Sometimes I feel that way. But I have to shake myself from that. And remember, if you're in Christ, you're a son and a daughter. You're not a beggar. You're family. And I don't know how much you love your kids, but I love mine. And I would never make them beg for anything from me. And I'm evil. Right? I am. Well, you know, I'm saved by grace, all that stuff, you know, whatever. But I know. I am not a holy God. And if I can love my kids like that and not make them beg for the dad, please feed me, please. God would never do that to you. Never do that to me. So I want you to remember, repentance is key. You repent for your sins because you know he's a holy God and you love him and he loves you. It's not that he's pissed at you. He's hurt that you would choose that over what he has, which is peace, truth, love, real love. real intimacy, real truth, you know, real peace. Peace with self starts with the revelation that I am forgiven for my past, my present, and my future. I am forgiven and fully forgiven in Christ, fully set free, fully saved from sin, death, and hell. Fully, not partially, fully. Now I know that there's still Christians in this room that are struggling with things. How could I be fully anything if I'm still struggling? Well, I tell you, friend, you're in process. You keep seeking the word. You keep seeking his, you keep seeking. Well, what is holiness? What is rightness, righteousness, rightness with God? What does that look like? You have to read to find out. You got to find out. That's how we find out. I know what's good. I know what's not good. And I continue to do that. Why? Because I'll forget. I'm leaky. You can ask me next week, what'd you preach about last Sunday? I'll be like, think peace? I don't know. You know, because leaky. You too. I'm preaching good today, but you're going to forget. You keep reading the word, renew the mind, renew the. And I go into Romans 12 right now. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't do the things they do, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind through the word of God. That by testing you may discern, by testing, by your trials and the tests that come in life, you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, you know, it's, listen, when you don't know which way is up, because we get twisted up in a pretzel in the middle of a trial, right? I mean, we're all in it. We're all up in it, and our emotions are all up in it. That's why we need to be grounded. We need to be grounded because your emotions are going to lie to you. I mean, they're real, they're valid, they're yours, but they're not always right. Amen? Transforming our minds will always happen with the word. Less of the world, more of the word equals the best you. Abide in Jesus, abide in peace, while you die to yourself. And if it's hard for you to forgive yourself, then I would just encourage you to continue to, I mean, you need to get to know the Father. You need to get to know the God that you serve, because once you get to know his heart, I mean, you will understand that you can forgive yourself. You've made mistakes, you have. But you're a new creation in Christ. He made you. He didn't, you were his before the foundation of the world. He already named you in the family before you were born. I pray that gives you comfort today. And that will always, if we have peace with God and peace with ourselves, it sure does make it a lot easier to have peace with others. Matthew 5, 9 says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the people that make peace. Jesus preached his greatest sermon from this. This was out of the greatest sermon ever preached on the Beatitudes. And what he says, because we think, and I tend to think this way, blessed means lucky. How you doing today? blessed. Like, I'm doing good. I'm lucky today. All things are going right. I'm blessed. It's true. Blessed means right with God. How you doing today? Right with God. Not because of anything I've done or didn't do. It's because of my King. I'm right with God because of Jesus Christ. And I'm happy about that. I'm really happy about that. Why? Because I can't be taken out of Him. Because I can't unearn my salvation. Hallelujah. Because I would. Right? You know? I can't. Oh, yay. That gives me the freedom to let you be you, even when you're a jerk. King Jesus requires His people to create peace. And I say require because we should be so abiding in Him, in His Word, in His presence, in His Spirit, in fellowship with each other, encouraging each other in love, that when stuff happens, and it does, we may not bat 1,000, but our odds sure go up with the way we handle things. In peace, with peace. Even if they're getting aggro, hey, it's okay, calm down. It's all good. Why? Because I know Jesus is on the throne. It's all right. Calm down. God's doing something. He's working. John 15, Jesus says this: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Everything God told me, I told you," Jesus says. "You did not choose me, but I chose and I appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask in the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another, so that you will hold on to your peace and love each other and love your enemies." Jesus says later that to love your enemies. Now I remember, how do I say this? Love your enemies. How many of you guys are praying for the president right now? Good. One. Right on, bro. You notice I didn't raise my hand. I feel guilty. I brought it up, though. Listen. Thank you, brother. Do you know that God is absolutely in control of everything that's going on right now? Remember, we read it, visible and invisible, rulers, dominions, all of it. God is not tripping on what's going on. And He ain't tripping on Putin. He ain't tripping on nobody. So you shouldn't be either. God is on the throne. Things have been crazy in this world forever. Just look in the Bible. Look, we're wearing different clothes, but we're the same. We're doing the same stuff we've always been doing. And it's the same stuff. They've always been interested in finding out what they were doing wrong, right? And I want you to know something. Your phone is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay? Your phone and your TV and all that stuff. And I think you should be informed. I think it's good for people to be on top of things. But I'm telling you to keep it in perspective. Because you'll act just like the world if you don't. If you spend more time in the Word, investing in peace in your Savior, and investing in abiding in Him more than figuring out what they're doing wrong. Because they're doing stuff. I'll tell you right now, they're doing stuff wrong, guys. They're cheaters, they're liars, and they're thieves. And they'll always be that way. Well, Lord, we pray for them right now that they wouldn't, that you would intervene and salvation would come to their home in Jesus' name. Don't base your peace on what you see. Base your peace on what you know about God. Because it's your belief. It's your belief system that I'm trying to hit this morning. We don't operate where we should in faith because we don't really believe. We celebrate Christmas because a king was born. Our king. A sacrifice for our sins. And I mean, that's a major, major move of God. For him to have his son murdered on the cross. And yes, it was so he could resurrect from the dead. So he could be raised from the dead and be at the right hand of the Father praying for you and me right now. But that's a major move to get us in the family. I just want you to know that God really moved mountains for you and I. And the kind of move, the kind of God move, the kind of like, you know, hard on the yard move that God did is so much so that you and I can't lose our salvation. That's how big God is. Sinners are going to heaven. We are saved by grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'll close with this. I'm going to read one more scripture. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I have faith in you. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Listen, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding of men, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So your prayer and your supplication, that's what I want you to get from the last thing I'm going to say to you before we pray, is that you pray. You go to Papa. You go to the Father. You go like a son and a daughter, though. And I don't mean, what's up, Dad? You know, don't do that. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling, you know? But you go to him with, like, Lord, I am yours. I am confident. I am a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin. But you love me. You, because I believe Jesus, you are my Lord. I confess it with my mouth and I know you're at the right. You have resurrected from the dead. You're alive today. You're sitting at the right hand of God and you are praying for me, Lord. So I accept your forgiveness. I walk in that forgiveness. And if I need to repent, if I need to make amends, or I need to, hey, I'm really sorry I said that. I'm really sorry I did that. Then that's what I need to do. But I get back. I continue. I get back up on my horse. I get back into the word. And I say, God, I'm chasing after you. I don't want to be the same guy. I don't want to be the guy with pride. I don't want to be the guy that misses out on an opportunity to minister and to love because of my own pride, because of my own ego, because of my own stuff that's so going on. I'm so busy with my own life that I walk right by somebody who needs a good word, a hug. You have God. You have Jesus Christ. And if you don't, if you're confused, if you know, I thought I was saved, but I heard you, Pastor Chris, and I just want to make sure. Look, what God's doing in your heart right now, it's already being done. God regenerates your heart. You heard the gospel today. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He was crucified and raised from the dead on the third day, walked around, showed everybody, I'm real, and then ascended to heaven to be the first one in the new life. Our new life that we get to experience now if we choose. We have to choose him and not the world. So, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've backslidden and you just want to rededicate your heart, I just ask you to raise your hands to receive right now. Amen. Amen. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. It's all right. Church, say this prayer with me. And just you got to repeat this prayer after me, because remember, it's a confession. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you, church. God bless you. Be the light this week. You have Jesus.